Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. Here is a list of the top 10 most common winter toxins that we're going to chat about with our wonderful friend from Pet Poison Helpline, Dr. Renee Schmidt, boarded toxicologist. How are you, my friend?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm so good now that I have you here. To the listeners, if you don't know Dr. Renee Schmidt, please reach out to her. She's such a great resource. Her and her team at Pet Poison Helpline are fantastic. I reached out to you multiple times. I know our team has as well. And thank you for all the great work that you're doing for our profession and our pets.
You bet. And thank you as well. And thanks for allowing me on today.
Of course. All right. So we got a lot to cover, everybody. So buckle up. We got 10 of the most common toxins that we're going to talk about in the wintertime. We got Super Bowl weekend happening this weekend. We even have Valentine's Day and other holidays that are coming up. So let's get into and no particular order, by the way, right? We should preface this. There's no particular order, but I'm going to chat about house guests. Let's talk about that. Number one.
Yeah, you bet. So with house guests coming for the for either Valentine's Day holiday or for Super Bowl, it's something that we want to make sure that if they bring any medications with them, we get a lot of calls when people are visiting others. They've put their medications in baggies, and so they don't have them in their pill vials anymore. They're setting their bags or suitcases on the floor. And then the pet, the dog or the cat comes in and helps themselves. And so it's something that we can see a lot of negative effects occurring, from heart medications to pain medications to diabetic medication, you name it. And so something to really kind of talk with your guests about, say, hey, if you've brought any medications, let me put it up here in the cabinet for you.
Yeah, it's great. I'm just laughing because the way I just said it, the listeners are probably like, well, I do have toxic house guests that come.
We all do. It's at one point or another. I think we all do.
Right. Yeah. So we got house guests off the list. All right. Number two is antifreeze.
Yeah. So this is, you know, great time of the year. We're in the heat of winter. The cold of winter. And this is something where we can definitely see a lot more exposures with animals where either their antifreeze is leaking from the vehicle or the pet owner has antifreeze sitting out or in their garage. And then the dog gets into it, breaks open that packaging or spills it, and then really gets into a large amount. Takes a very, very small amount for cats, a little bit more for dogs, but still not very much. Something that we can definitely see fatal kidney failure from, especially in these guys when they're often not caught early enough. And the owner isn't aware that they got into it and until it's too late and they're starting to show signs.
Yeah, I think all of us had some unfortunate, you know, exposure or a case that has come to our clinic with that. And it is brutal. It really is. I did have a dog that consumed this next one at number three, and those are ice melts. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so ice melts, very common, especially in the colder climates and in this time of year. And there are a lot of different kind of makeup of ice melts, but the big thing is a lot of them contain a high amount of salt and other elements that we can start to see a metabolic electrolyte abnormalities from that. So we may see hypernatremia, but we may also see other electrolyte abnormalities depending on if they contain calcium or magnesium salts. And so something that we can start to see signs with animals pretty quickly as far as vomiting and then potentially neurologic signs as well, depending on the type that they get into.
Yeah, that's so scary, that one too. I think not many pet parents know about that as much as, say, you know, veterinary professionals do. Okay, so we do have a lot of dips that are happening this weekend. I love me a good dip. Those onion dips are so darn good. But at number four are some of the spices and onions and so forth. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you bet. So we want to be real careful with anything that contains onion and garlic around our pets. And cats are much more sensitive than dogs. And the downside to using like dips or spices is that oftentimes we're using onion powder or garlic powder, which is extremely concentrated when you, in comparison with the fresh onion or fresh garlic. And so just a small amount, if that if you have a dog that gets into that, that wonderful onion dip and ingests a large amount of it, definitely can be enough to see potential signs. And our big concern is going to be hemolysis in those cases.
Wow. Yeah. Very scary. Yeah. You said just a little bit too, right?
Yeah. So when you think about comparison, you know, a lot of times it's just a quarter of a teaspoon in some of these cases can be enough to be problematic. Whereas if it was the fresh onion or the fresh garlic, they would require a lot higher amount.
Wow. Scary. Okay. So we're thinking of, say, the holidays, Super Bowl weekend. We have the house guests over. They have some onions and dips going on. And then, you know, they're throwing back a few beers and some cocktails. So we got liquor on the list at number five.
Yeah. And I think alcohol is one we get a lot of calls on. You know, certainly in this, you know, these last few months of the holiday season itself, but now that we've got Super Bowl coming up and Valentine's Day, we still have a lot of, kind of a lot of times or reasons for alcohol to be consumed and in maybe a larger guest population in the house. And so that's something where it's important for any animal that, you know, maybe has access to that, that coffee table or the end table, anything where they can start taking some drinks. Alcohol poisoning is a serious concern in animals for sure, as it doesn't take much for them to become symptomatic. We can see hypoglycemia. We can see neurologic depression. We can also see a metabolic acidosis developing with these guys. So definitely something that could potentially be fatal to them, depending on the amount they get into.
Yeah, very scary stuff. And, you know, I've seen some videos, which I absolutely hate too. Some, you know, pet owners out there think it's fun to see their dogs drink some of this and a little bit of that of alcohol. And it's just awful. Just no go at all, right?
Yeah, for sure. No go at all. And, you know, when these guys develop hypoglycemia or maybe respiratory depression and other things, those aren't things that necessarily that the pet owner is going to be able to see or monitor and recognize. And these guys can develop really significant signs. And as I mentioned, you know, potentially fatal signs with that, especially if they're not being watched. And I think a lot of times when pet owners are giving alcohol to their pets, they may be a little bit inebriated themselves and may not be making the best of choices to be able to see, gosh, you know, boy, he's acting really abnormal at this point, and I need to now seek additional help for him.
And, you know, we have all these coffee tables, end tables going on with these social gatherings. And sometimes there are some ashtrays that are there and some marijuana and weed that might be around, or there are stashes. So coming at number six would be THC, right?
Yeah. THC. And a lot of times in the past, over the past several years, typically our most common calls were on the plant itself. So that may be traditional joints. But recently over these, you know, recently over this last year or so, we're really seeing a significantly high uptick in edibles. And so those chocolate, you know, THC brownies and cookies or gummies and candies, and you can get THC infused just about anything nowadays. And so that's something that is even more enticing to a pet to have, but definitely still seeing some of those kind of exposures with the traditional joints, so to speak. And you mentioned the ashtray, and I know it's not on our top 10 today, but don't forget about those cigarette butts. We recently had just a very small 3-pound dog that ingested one cigarette butt and had significant life-threatening signs developing from that very small amount that you wouldn't think would be much of an issue. But because that dog was so small, was really problematic. So something to add to our top 10 on that too.
We call that, we'll add that one as the bonus.
Yep. It's the toxicology dozen, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned some candies that could be associated with edibles, and some of the other toxins that we can see at number seven would be xylitol.
You bet. So xylitol, it truly is everywhere. We say it's everywhere, and it really kind of is. We think about it a lot with our sugar-free gums and candies, and that's enough to bring a lot of light to it and make people kind of perk their ears and really look at the back of those ingredient labels to see if xylitol is there. But that's just really only one component, one piece of the puzzle with xylitol. There are a lot of products that don't state that they're sugar-free that still contain xylitol. There's products that contain sugar and xylitol in them as well. And so they can be really kind of sneaky as to where they get in there. It's a great product for weight loss and weight loss products because of its sweetness, and it has a low glycemic index. So you might see it in protein bars, different granola bars, different weight loss products. It has a humectant effect, which means it helps to retain moisture. So you might see it in skin lotions and gels and just kind of all over the place. We're also seeing it now in THC products. So THC mints, some edibles that have been in there, we're seeing xylitol. So when we say it's everywhere and just really look for it, be very vigilant with your pets or with your clients' pets to make sure that anything that is potentially edible or needing to have a longer shelf life and like a skin lotion or a gel, we look to see if there's xylitol there.
Yeah, you bring up a really great point. I think a lot of pet parents struggle with peanut butter because it's hard to see if it says xylitol free on there. Do you hear that on your end too?
Yeah, so far we haven't seen mainstream peanut butters contain xylitol. So even those that are either sugar-free or have a low sugar content, we haven't seen the mainstream companies contain xylitol. The ones that we do are typically more, I kind of refer to them as the boutique-y brands. So the specialty brands, we do see some of them that are like a peanut butter spread that have multiple different flavors in them as well that contain xylitol, or some of those that are just, again, that smaller market that's looking, maybe you're in that whole food section or more of the organic section, you may see something there that contains xylitol. Definitely a concern for our dog owners for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it is winter time and we want to maybe liven up our indoor homes a little bit with some plants. And at number 9, we have lilies.
Yeah, so lilies are a very popular flower coming up here in the next week or two with Valentine's Day. And it's something that when we think about true lilies or lilies that are the Lilium genus, so those are kind of the ones we probably think about the most, are Asiatic lilies, Oriental lilies, maybe our tiger lilies. Those are ones that we're going to be really concerned with as far as causing kidney failure in cats. Looking another month or two ahead at our Easter lilies, those are in that same type of family. Fortunately, we only see GI upset in dogs, but in cats, we can see fatal kidney failure. And so a lot of times we want to encourage, if we're going to send a bouquet to somebody, encourage the florist to ask to have them no lilies included. The one exception to that would be Peruvian lilies. They often are in bouquets because they're a great filler. They're usually less expensive. They have a longer kind of cut life with them, so they stay a little bit longer and are common in a bouquet. They look a lot like a true lily. However, they're much smaller in size, and those are not going to be a concern. So it's really the true lilies or those in the Lilium genus that we're most concerned with.
Excellent. So informative. All right. Our last one that we have for this particular discussion is rodenticides, number 10.
Yeah. So rodenticides, very common this time of year. Again, especially if we're in the cooler environment where we're rodents are trying to get into the shed in the garage or in our basements. And so a lot of people are setting rodenticides out more. We think about the three most common ones for rat and mouse baits, which would be cholecalciferol, bromethalin, and then the anticoagulants. Really important to remember that if a pet gets into a rodenticide, any type of rat or mouse bait, it isn't automatically going to be treated with vitamin K1. It isn't automatically an anticoagulant. Each year we see a much higher volume of bromethalin and cholecalciferol cases as they are more commonly out on the market. The EPA changes their regulations and guidance every few years as to what can be sold for residential use. And because of that, we see that higher increase in bromethalin and cholecalciferol cases.
I didn't know that at all. I had no idea. So that's why we have you on. Excellent. Well, this has been fantastic, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's always a good time with you.
No, I know. where could the listeners learn more about Pet Poison Helpline?
You bet. So go to our website, petpoisonhelpline.com. We have a lot of information that's there for pet owners and for veterinary professionals. We also have a poisons list that you can look up with thousands of different products, plants, medications, foods, to look to see if something is potentially going to be problematic for a pet to get into it. We also have our toxin tails. I always like to point out, you can find that on our website as well. It's an educational program that we started about 3 years ago to help educate pet owners as well as the veterinary community on different toxins that animals can get into. The good thing about us, which is a little bit different than some of the news stories that are out nowadays, is that they all have a happy ending. So don't be afraid to read them and look at them, because these animals all made great recoveries. Some of them are simple or common things, such as xylitol and chocolate, and some of them are things that we don't see as frequently, but are extremely interesting.
Yeah, very fascinating. Awesome. I love it. Thank you for all the great work you're doing. Dr. Renee Schmidt, everyone, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Hey, don't forget to rate this podcast. This was a really good one, too. I learned a lot. Helps us out as we continue to grow our wonderful podcast. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.